want to welcome you, Eileen Flannelly Mackerel. How are you doing?
Great, great. Thank you. And thank you for that. Was some intro there.
Yeah.
I felt like you were, maybe that you were compensating a little because I think the last time I appeared on your show was to sing the Chipmunk song, if memory serves me correctly. But it's all right.
Yeah.
It's okay. Mm. You know, it's all good.
Yeah.
All good. Yeah.
Well, that's not lead.
And I think I did a very good job of that, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Yeah. It was your favorite hymn at the time, if I remember.
Exactly. Exactly. If the audience thinks they're being tortured by My Island Is Waiting For Me, they should try a few versions of the Chipmunk song.
Yeah. For actually, when all of you, as each of you were growing up at Christmas, in order to lure you to maybe listen to your father's radio program at least once a year at Christmas time, I used to throw in the Chipmunks. And then that's fine. Then, you know, that was Linda, Paul, Kathleen, and yourself. And then the next generation would come along. And you had Gavin Flannelly Enright and, you know, and Fallon, and they didn't complain. But then, then your sister Kathleen, my daughter Kathleen, she got her too, and I thought that maybe, just maybe, I wouldn't take a chance on playing it at all. And guess what? Nobody complained. Not yeah. Just think about it for a minute. You know, Kathleen and Andre saying, listen, Sebastian, Paul, and Scarlett Pia, Granddad is going to play a song. It's going to be by the Chipmunks. Oops. No.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't fly. Uh-huh. It wouldn't. Yeah. Yeah, the Who.
No.
Well, at least the Who they might relate to. Anyway, Eileen, it is a great honor indeed, not only for you, but for the family, to be chosen as Gael of the Year by the United Irish Counties of New York. And there are a couple of distinctions here. One is you're only the second female in 116-year history of the United Irish Counties. So that must be, you know,
it's incredible. It's incredible to imagine 116 years. But, you know, some people take a little longer to catch up, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
We're getting there. No,
is there a formula? Like, is it every, you know, is it like, what happened to the Me Too movement here? need to pull that one up a little bit. But it is a great, it's a great honor. And
incredible.
Unashamedly say that we are all thrilled to this because the United Irish Counties of New York represents every single county, all 32 counties of Ireland, and it's a very special occasion. Now, it is also, of course, a great tribute to not only the Mehel, the gathering of 32 counties, both immigrants and descendants of those from Ireland. But it does show the great affiliation and the great friendship between two great countries. That wasn't Ireland, of course, America and Ireland. And that wasn't lost on you as a child either. Your story, of course, could be repeated a million times. How many people do we meet in the course of our travels around who say, you know, what nationality are you? The American, of course, is assumed, but they say Irish. I used to go to Ireland, to my grandmother's, to Ireland every summer and spend a lot of time there. And that was a golden opportunity, still is for a lot of youngsters. Now, you didn't get lost in that. You caught on to that one fairly fast.
Very quickly, very quickly. I learned from a very young age that Ireland was one of the most, I shouldn't say one of the most, I should say the most welcoming place on the planet, that it was a different type of lifestyle that was, it was amazing to be part of and still is to this day. It's, you know, the warmth and that you feel, and I tell people that all the time when they're going to Ireland, I say, when people talk to you, I said, there's no hidden agenda here. I said, if strangers start talking to you, there's, you know, we live here, unfortunately, with stranger danger and all of that. I say, it's not, I said, people talk to you, they're talking to you just because they know you're not from there and they want to welcome you. I said, you can meet people in the morning and be having dinner in their houses in the evening. I said, that's the type of place it is, and that's the type of people that you're going to meet. And I've never had anybody come back and say, no, I didn't experience that. Everybody has always come back and said, it's just the most incredible place. And it is. And my family, of course, and, you know, my family in Dublin and Limerick and Mayo and all over, it was always just like you felt like you belonged there. And it was hard leaving. It was hard leaving, which is really quite incredible, because I always think of you guys coming over and having to leave such a place like that. I just, you know, it really makes you realize how hard it had to have been for people. So
how hard it had to be, you know, for those during the famine in Ireland and the aftermath of the famine, and those who didn't even know that they were going to have to leave. But there was something magic about coming to, first of all, Irish areas like New York and Philadelphia, Chicago, so many of them, Boston. It, again, it probably solidified the great relationship that there is. Now, it is a two-way street, though. There were those like yourself, you know, who went to Ireland for a good while. We thought you were going to stay there altogether, and you were threatening that, and, you know, we didn't react. But you did spend a lot of time there. The development of relationships with, you know, with family in particular, and, you know, with friends there, at a time when, you know, people weren't hopping planes for a weekend, as, you know, some are coming out for the United Irish Counties and also, you know, several other events. That wasn't happening, but there was some bonding there that had legs, so to speak. You know, and it's generational. It lasted through the years, as we see in our own family.
Sure. Well, it lasted. Like I tell people, Uncle David, as you know, has me, every time I arrive home, he has me repeat, you know, he say, Eileen, how long was it when you started going over on your own, you know?
Yeah.
And I say, 9 years of age. And so my parents would take me over to the airport, and Winnie Hayes from Aer Lingus would put me on the plane, and that's when you would take me on the other side. Yourself and Auntie Irene would come over and pick me up at the airport, and that's when I started doing that. And he said, it's amazing, amazing. I said, yeah, but again, to me, that was, you know, I missed Ireland as much as I would miss home on this side, and I've been my whole life doing this. So, and as you know, I did spend quite a bit of time there and school and working and living there. So, when I go back, people, friends and everybody that I run into, they say, how long are you home for, Eileen? How long are you home for? And that's what I say. It's always been my second home. And now, you know, I say when we actually were growing up, and it's funny to say it now because you remember my parents talking, you guys talking about your communication and not being able to communicate when you came over, and, you know, when you left, you kind of left. But we were still in the letter writing stage, and that's how we kept in touch. But from a very young age, we learned how to communicate through writing letters back and forth, and you'd be dying for, you know, your response and waiting for your relatives' letters or your cousins to come back and tell you what was going on in their lives, because it was too expensive to make calls from either side at that time. And that's what you did, but there was some great excitement. And now, you know, with the internet and the travel and everything being so simple, to see the next generations like Gavin and Fallon's age, that generation, now they have the opportunities to come over and do internships here and this. And they themselves, it's beautiful to watch them keep the connection going from both sides. And that's through communication. They're able to stay in touch day to day on Facebook and social media accounts, and then hours going over there to see Fallon and Gavin going over and Patricia and Daniel and going over and you know, spending time with their family, and then you don't have that disconnect. I mean, I've never felt the disconnect because it's been such an important part of my life that I never lost that contact. But to see now how simple it is, it's wonderful to watch. It's absolutely wonderful.
My guest is my daughter Eileen Flannelly Mackle. I think maybe one of the great benefits of the internet is not only did it say connect obvious connections like relatives in Ireland, but even following, you know, and being able to communicate with family and friends all over the world, and particularly in, you know, the United States, it gives all of us an opportunity to know where our relatives, where they are, what they're up to. And with all of the complaints that, you know, you hear about Facebook and Twitter and all of it, it does give you, and I mention this because you were saying about waiting for letters to come, it gives you kind of an instant a way to communicate. Again, easy.
Without a question.
Yeah.
Without a question. It's amazing. Yeah, there's always going to be downsides to social media and things, and there are real things out there that people are battling, bullying and all of that kind of stuff. But there's a very positive side to social media, and there's that instant gratification and just knowing, and again, I'm probably the guiltiest in this family of, you know, posting every time somebody moves.
Your sister,
you know, everybody.
Yeah. Your sister Kathleen would like all of us to know, you know, about her.
Very true.
Yeah, her children going up, so she at least update photos, you know. I think it used to be four times a day. I think it's maybe down to one or two now. But that part is great. But again, I think that your story is you know, is one that resonates with long before social media. So many Irish Americans had. You know, were privileged to go to Ireland to meet their relatives way back when, and it strengthened that bond. Just want to ask you though about first of all, I suppose we should mention the United Irish Counties coming up next Friday evening in Antrim's, and you know, as you know, we had President Tom Tuffy on a couple of weeks ago. Tom Tuffy, little play on words of it, the guy is he's a tough cookie, and there's a great opportunity for people to actually to meet you know, the representatives of other counties, and amazingly the tradition is that a lot of partners, spouses who met on this side of the Atlantic, be they from different counties in Ireland, they met here, and a lot of that came through the county organizations, and in particular the United Irish Counties. It's a great meeting place. You know, Match.com doesn't put a patch on it. It is a great place.
Oh, without a question. And such a powerful group of people backing and in, you know, that representing the United Irish Counties. Honestly, and Tom Tuffy at the helm of that has been an incredible president throughout the entire term. And again, everybody who represents there, you're talking about some of the top people in our community that have dedicated their entire lives to not only the United Irish Counties, but other organizations.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to be, you know, elected or put into, honored by this group of people is overwhelming. I mean, it really is. It's through you and through my, you know, upbringing of being at these events and the dance halls when you were playing your music, and my upbringing, I've known a lot of these leaders most of my life, and they are the top of the top. So when they put you forward, it's quite extraordinary and overwhelming and humbling, really, because I couldn't imagine a greater honor than this. And
Eileen, I just want to bring to the attention of our listeners that one of your co-honor recipients on next Friday night is somebody who has he has been so involved, not just in one organization like the United Irish Counties, but he's past president of Tipperary and Association, a stalwart figure in the Irish American community. And just, you know, his involvement, just to mention a few, the Ancient Order of Hibernian, St. Patrick's Day Parade, the Lynx at Unionville, an Irish golf course up in about 100 miles up in the Catskills from here, and president of the Emerald Golf Society of New York. There seems to be no cutoff date for those who are so involved with organizations. It's not something you can get out of very easily. It's in your blood. It is there. And despite, all the legitimate concerns we have about no opportunity for regular immigration coming from Ireland, or for that matter, any place else, this is there are a great number of leaders and of those leaders and followers here who have kept the tradition going from your viewpoint, is there, you know, there was, we grew up on our side here saying, oh, God help us, but, you know, when this crowd, when they're gone, there will be, you know, no United Irish Country. There won't be an MS Society. There won't be an AOH. From where you stand, because you are involved now in St. Patrick's Day, on the St. Patrick's Day parade, and you are president of the Irish Institute in New York. As you see it, will there be, you know, the same level of interest, you know, by the time you're my age?
There's no doubt that the interest is there. And we are now starting to see younger groups coming into some of the organizations, and I am completely thrilled to say that my niece, Fallon Enright, has just become probably the youngest member of the Irish Institute, and she was installed just a few weeks back on as our recording and corresponding secretary. And again, she has the bug and the gene for that, and it's quite amazing to see that. And I'm obviously proud auntie alert. I should have given you a proud auntie alert on that one. But there's younger groups coming in, but I think we need more outreach. When all of these organizations came to be, a time when you came over in the 50s and before that, obviously before that, but I mean, when it was strong influx of immigration to here, there was a very powerful need for people to bond and, like you say, in clusters and to form different organizations to make sure that everybody was taken care of. And it's just now, I think, that a lot of our mission is changing. We still have a lot of issues with immigration that, of course, need to be addressed and things like that. But I think there's also, we got to have an outreach for this Alan and Gavin's generation, where they actually, it's focused more on, you know, educational sharing, just interaction, right, things like that, where that's where there are people, there are, you know, like I said, our own cousins, their children coming over here and doing internships and stuff like that. If we get involved in that, I think that it would help. If we're just bringing in, like I said, if you had some kind of internships and even information on different places where they could go through these organizations, I think that would get that generation in and focused more on the what's available to them. It's more of an outreach, and that would help to strengthen the organizations and keep them going for you know, indefinite periods of time.
Yeah. Eileen, for those of us who say or who think, and it's easier for, you know, for senior citizens who didn't grow up with the internet to say, well, you know, that bloody internet makes it too easy, you know, for the generations, you know, that are current and coming. They really don't have to put themselves out and go through organizations. They do all that click. There's an upside to that, as we discussed, in cousins who don't have an opportunity, of family, of friends, you know, who simply don't get together that often. As you say, is that a plus or a minus, the internet? Can we... Okay.
But that's exactly what the thing is, you know, if you have our, like, people like our Nicola and Michelle and stuff that are coming over and doing, and if there's an outreach for them to get information, for them to get involved, for them to be part of something that maybe interacts with their either work or their college or their anything, their whatever they're involved in, it's Okay, so maybe Nicola and Michelle could always come to us or ask us where to go.
Cousins,
that's
yeah.
more of a rare. That's more of a rarity that there's that kind of a connection, I should say.
Yeah.
But for their friends that are in school with them or college or just friends or whatever, that they say, the Mayo Society actually has a program that you can go to and they will help you get a job or help you get, an internship or whatever it might be
right.
if somebody wants to come. And I know the Brehon Law Society does this. I know the Brehon Law Society does a lot of outreach and internship programs and stuff for
yeah.
young people in college. But
well, all of the organizations, in a sense, the United Irish Counties and LDC, St. Patrick's, they parade. Everybody, all of the organizations, in addition to award scholarships, they have now, and perhaps did over the years, just created that awareness that all we hear about immigration is there is none, and that is true, and it is wicked. There are visa programs where, some can come from Ireland. There are exchange programs. But bottom line on all of this is that we can't expect any huge changes. But I was just listening to you.
Sorry, just to your point. That's very true with all the organizations and their programs and things, but that the promotion of that
yeah.
used to be very, it would be a small group or be a word of mouth. The promotion of those programs and stuff like that is what makes the Internet such a valuable tool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what makes it such a, because that gets the word to, the other side on this is what we have to offer and things, and that's where this generation is at. They're not looking at it from any other point of view. Like, what their total focus is the Internet. And that's why you said for the older people who don't think it is a valuable tool,
mm-hmm.
without a question. So I'm sorry to cut you off there.
No, you've been doing that all your life. That's fine.
So true.
Yeah. Yeah, we refer to it as talking over. Anyway, seriously, I want to, again, talk about our wrap up this, our conversation here with the strong, strong ties that we have with Ireland and definitely at a time you were mentioning there about how close the ties were and how how easy it is and how we can help our relatives and friends in Ireland in reaching out and getting that. But that's not new. The MO is new. But for all of us in my generation who were lucky enough long before social media, to have relatives, I think most people, like ourselves, had uncles, had relatives here. Many had never, either been to Ireland or only briefly visited, but they would take the responsibility of sponsoring those in Ireland, not just the relatives, but the neighbor's child, to bring them to America. And I think most of our listeners here, like ourselves, we have to acknowledge that we only got here through, it wasn't just an email or a Facebook or a text. We got here because those who indeed cared for us, those who had the strong, strong ties with Ireland, actually went out of their way, put their hands in their pockets, took the responsibility of bringing all of us to the United States. And I suppose no harm to mention top of the list for all of us is your granduncle, my uncle Paul O'Dwyer, and his wife, Kathleen, our Aunt Kate, who indeed didn't get that much credit. Seemed like Paul was the hero, and he was. But as we look at those who sponsored immigrants here, it was automatically, or in many cases, it was assumed that in this giving back, which is now a very common term about giving back, there wasn't really that much giving back to Ireland for those who left in poverty, who were forced to immigrate, in bringing out and being responsible, you know, for those, for the immigrants who needed to leave Ireland and found that America was the greatest place, you know?
Well, I think that, I mean, in my opinion, everybody's, the amount and which for the majority, the success stories of all of you who came here was a lot of giving back, because that, again, for those who came and the way you actually all joined together to, and you supported each other, and you look at the organizations, look at everything. I mean, you're all huge success stories in your lives and your families, and the fact that you continue to carry on the tradition and the culture and stuff, that wouldn't have happened if you hadn't left. So that's the give back there, and generations that follow going back and having that ties, that's where it all stems from. So you sacrificed by coming, and your family sacrificed, but you all did incredible jobs, and you continued. You never, ever, ever forgot where you came from, and that's what it's all about.
And the perfect example of that, Ken, in the Bull and Pew, will surface at the United Irish Counties dinner dance, and that is taking place this Friday evening. It's at Anton's, and I believe that the best way to get information on that for the last minute, those who were, who'd like to go or like to get in under the wire, is to get on to the United Irish Counties Association of New York and their website, and that should do it.
UICANY.com.
As in United Irish Counties
Association
of New York. I'm telling you.
.com.
Okay. I'm glad that.
Join us.
I'm glad. Yeah, absolutely. And they're still able to roll out a table or two.
I'm sure they can. And I just before I leave you here, I just say to be in the honor of Martin Dunn, the thing you didn't mention about Martin is world's most loveliest gentleman that ever walked the face of the earth, Martin Dunn, and this well-deserved honor. So congratulations to Martin. I'm so honored to be standing beside you that night.
Yep. He's all right, but watch him, though, because he's got a kind of a mean elbow. So you just keep a little bit of room there. Okay.
Hello.
By the way, Anya Sheridan has now corrected both of us. That's UICANY.org, or did you say that?
I said .com. Sorry, .org. Yes, sorry. Well,
yeah.
You know something. That's why we keep her around. She, she's on it. She's
Ooh.
On it. That's it. UICANY.org.
Right.
Perfect.
Here's
sorry
a
about that.
Snipe at the wicked.
No. That is my.
Okay, all right. Okay, listen. I'm sure everybody would expect me to play, you know, a male song, but then, you know, you got every bloody Eileen song that we could resurrect in the front, so I think How about one from Limerick?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's the other side of you. Yeah.
That's right. For my mom. That sounds like a great idea.
Okay, Eileen, that's it. Anya, I have the feeling after this that I have a feeling we're going to get stuck for a table. U-I-C. Can I? U-I-C-A-N-Y. .org. Eileen Connelly, good luck. We are all very proud of you. Again.
Thank you.
Bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Limerick, your lady.